In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The apostles Peter and Paul so dominate the account of apostolic ministry in Acts that we sometimes forget that there are other apostles like Barnabas, whose work of proclaiming the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ we commemorate this day. And for many of you who begin your journey towards ordination today with summer Greek, there may not be a better person to launch you on your way than Barnabas, son of encouragement. Curiously, it is Matthew's gospel that is the appointed text for this day in the sending of the 12 by Jesus, and not the sending of the 72 in Luke's gospel. The reason that seems unusual is because it was Eusebius who asserted that Barnabas was one of the 72, a diasporan Jew, a Levite who had recently settled back in Jerusalem. Most of the 72 remain anonymous to us today, even though they provided the backbone of the early apostolic ministry. And perhaps Barnabas is one of those few who rose up out of that group to claim an equal status with the 12. And maybe that's why the account of the sending of the 12 is an appropriate gospel for this day in which we commemorate Barnabas. Barnabas was not, however, one who sought glory. There is a reason he is called son of consolation or son of encouragement, for he is known for his pastoral work as much as his missionary efforts. Barnabas demonstrated evangelical poverty at the beginning of the church's life by selling his parcel of land in Jerusalem and giving it to the Jerusalem church. And when a Christian community begins to develop in Antioch, it is Barnabas that the Jerusalem church sends up there to be the first pastor of those Gentiles and Jews gathered together. Paul only later joins him as a co-pastor. And perhaps it was because Barnabas the Levite was to go with Paul the Pharisee that the Antioch church sent them both on those first missionary journeys. Barnabas shows great pastoral care to his cousin John Mark when Paul decided that John Mark was not up to the missionary challenges laying before them. Instead of siding with Paul, Barnabas goes his own way, and he takes John Mark with him. For as a son of encouragement, he has the patience to guide John Mark and form him into the evangelist of the second gospel. Paul and Barnabas carried out their missionary efforts by following the blueprint that Jesus gave us this morning. And yet Paul, of course, learned it from Barnabas. And that blueprint is so simple. Preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, and then demonstrate its presence by healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, casting out demons, and then saying peace to those houses that greeted them with hospitality. This is the announcement and realization that in Jesus, creation is now being made new. And little did Barnabas realize that when he was sent out by Jesus to the towns and the homes that Jesus was about to go, that all of this was going to end on a cross. There Jesus meets his bloody end, only to begin there the restoration of creation through that very same blood. And at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and through Pentecost, many Hellenistic Jews were in Jerusalem, and Barnabas may well have been an eyewitness of both Jesus' death and his resurrection. And both those things are the center of the preaching of the apostles in Acts. And both the preaching of the kingdom and the miracles of the new era of salvation, which are baptism and the Lord's Supper, were the foundation of Paul and Barnabas' apostolic ministry. There is no evidence that Barnabas suffered the way Paul did, but there is no evidence that he didn't, and he very well may have ended in a martyr's death. After all, that's what Jesus predicted of all those who follow him, that they are sent as sheep in the midst of wolves. They realize that bearing this message of Christ crucified and risen to a world that was hostile to them might bring them to the same bloody end as their Lord. And Barnabas was a man of courage. He had the courage to stay behind in Jerusalem after Stephen's death when many left. He had the courage to trust in Paul's conversion and serve as Paul's advocate and friend among the Jerusalem leaders and be the one who gave Paul entrance into the center of the church's life. Barnabas' courage was great as he heads to Antioch to be the pastor of that church. And he was not even afraid of Paul, for he stood against him in Antioch over Gentile circumcision, even though it was misguided. And we already have seen how he was fiercely loyal to his cousin John Mark against Paul's desires. And at the Jerusalem Council, when the entire future of the church was at stake, Barnabas was there, son of encouragement, holding up Paul the prophet's arms. Perhaps without this son of consolation, the church would not be what it is today. And perhaps when Jesus says, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves," he was thinking of Paul the Pharisee and Barnabas the Levite. Shaking the dust off their feet from cities that received them not, these two great warriors traveled the empire planting churches that even included Gentiles. And think of it this way. Without Paul and Barnabas, you might not be here today studying Greek. Let that be your consolation in the weeks ahead from Barnabas, son of encouragement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.